Amen. We are on a spiritual journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus, aren't we? And what an exciting times to be on this journey. Incredible days in which we live. I'm going to ask, well, we're not really meeting at church today, but maybe you're sitting on your couch, or if you're driving, don't worry about standing up, please, it's all right, but you shouldn't be watching this anyway if you're driving. But we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read from, to start off our day today, we're going to bleed into the song we just sung about dry bones coming to life. In Ezekiel 37, about 500 years before Jesus was born, God gave this prophecy, and we need to think on these words today. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." That means they'd been there a long time. "He asked me, 'Son of man, can you see, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" Good answer. "He said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you so you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord.' And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds, and breath into these slain, that they may live.' And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." Father, we praise you this morning. We come before you this morning, this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, to worship you in spirit, to worship you in truth. We ask, God, that your voice would speak into our hearts today. We ask, Jesus, that you would touch our eyes, that we might see, touch our ears, that we would hear the voice and the thoughts of God. We ask this for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen. And now you can go back on your couch. Hey, Marie Davis, her 94th birthday is on July the 21st, I believe. And so, Marie Davis, if you're watching today, can we just tell you that we love you, wish you were here today, because we all would have been singing happy birthday to you right here. But we're not. So we're saying happy birthday to you today, our dear sister. What a special friend. A wonderful, faithful, joyful individual, a tough, a firecracker. Marie Davis, we love you, miss you, and happy birthday to you this week on the 21st. It's tough. This has been a tough week, as a lot of people, Josh was sharing. You know, when we found out again today, this week we had to close, and man, it breaks my heart, because for the last month that we've been open, I you could see the joy in people's faces. Pastor Frank, gathering here is like medicine to my soul. I understand that. To be in community and to be together, and even in the midst of a pandemic, to the loneliness and there's power in the in the people of God, in the assembly of believers. And though we can assemble here today, and we are, there's something about that. And so it grieves me. But you know what? People's safety is very important, and we have to obey the laws of the land. But you know what's really cool? Next Sunday night, the 26th, Sunday night from 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to meet outside in our courtyard, and we're going to be praying and having a worship service out in our courtyard. And everybody wear your mask, and we'll all social distance, but we can gather in a big outdoor. It'll be nighttime. It's a beautiful time right now in Southern California, around 7:30 to 8:30, and we're going to sing praises to God and pray and seek His face in community, and we can do this legally outside, and we believe safely. So that's next Sunday night. And so there's things we can be doing. There's things we can be doing. I do want to say, here at Woodbridge Community Church, we're a congregational form of governance, and we have elders, leaders that we appoint, and deacons, deaconesses, and just as the Bible says, find godly people and point them to places of leadership and let them seek the Lord. And in the cycles of this community of faith, we have three leaders that have been going off, Mike and Pat Melendrez and Josh Arnaldo. They've served the Lord so faithfully, and just want to say thank you to them and what they've been doing. Godly people and real gifts of God. And this is a healthy church. And the reason why it's a healthy church spiritually, and it's because we have healthy, godly, mature people that seek God's faith and know how to hear the voice of God. And we just appreciate these people. Very special people. So when you think of them, make sure to honor them and thank them. The days that we've been living in have been prompting a lot of questions, hasn't it? Questions about a pandemic. How did we get it? How do we stop it? How do we protect ourselves from it? Lots of questions that are going on all the time. And with questions, specifically within the body of Jesus, there's been questions popping up since March. Is this a sign of the last days? Pastor Frank, emails, text messages, people coming into the office. Pastor Frank, is this pandemic a sign of the last days? Are we living in the last days? Is this pandemic a wake-up call, last call? The locusts are ravaging Africa, and the stars, the phenomenon that's happening in the sky, what we're seeing in the stars, is these all signs of the end? Is this a wake-up call from God? Is this the last call before the coming of Jesus? And what do we mean by the last days? For us as Christians, when we speak of last days, we're talking about the days leading up to the second coming of Jesus. Is this pandemic signs of Him coming soon? I want to answer this question with a question. In the history of the world, has there ever been a nation that existed and then it was conquered, and its people were deported to the four corners of the earth, and then, after thousands of years, come together again, back to the ancestral land? Has this ever happened in the history of humanity? It's happened once. 2,500 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel 37, God gave him a vision of the valley of dried bones. And here's a picture of it. Imagine this. And maybe just leave that up there as I speak through this. God gave a vision to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. And in the vision, God had the prophet walk among the dry bones. And as the prophet was walking in this valley, God asked the prophet, "Can these bones come to life again? Can these bones live again?" And the prophet, whenever God asks you a question, probably the best answer is to say, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Good answer. If God's going to ask you a question, if you want to cheat, just say, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And that's what Ezekiel did. He said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know. You are God, I'm not. Only you know the answers to this question. You only have this information." And then he said to me, he says, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin and so forth. And so the prophet prays. And can you imagine a picture, the second one, of the prophet seeing a rattling and these bones coming to life, attaching themselves together again and getting upright and the skeletal, and all of a sudden there's like tendons being formed back into these, and then skin covering, and even with that, they're not alive unless the spirit dwells within, right? And God says, prophesy that the spirit of the four winds, four corners, there's the spirit of the four would come upon them. And if God didn't tell us what it was, we would go, what does that mean? But blessed be the name of the Lord who explains what this is. He says that these bones are the nation of Israel. That the nation of Israel will be destroyed. Dry means they've been rotting along. They've been gone. Dried bones. The nation of Israel, God prophesies, will be dispersed for a very long time into the four winds of the earth. And yet God says a sovereign day will come when he will gather these bones back. And what does the bones represent? What does these bones coming to life mean? They're identified as the whole people of Israel. The bones being dry, again, they've been dead a long time. But there's this time of Israel's ultimate national restoration in their land, in the end times. And it says when God does this, it's a sign that the world should believe in Him. And 500 years after God had given this prophecy to Ezekiel, Jesus told His disciples in Luke 21 that Jerusalem was going to be surrounded and destroyed, and the people of Israel would be deported throughout the Roman world. And they were, by the way, they were in 70 and 132 AD. The Jewish temple was destroyed, as Jesus said it would be. And the nation became a valley of dry bones. They ceased to exist as a nation in their land. All that has been said comes. And yet the greatest miracle, as I asked you, have you heard of any nations where this, after 2,000 years, the Jewish people are brought back to their land? The Jewish people somehow were preserved as an ethnic entity, a racial people with an ancestral heart of a homeland. This is incredible. It's unprecedented. And after World War II, they came out of Europe and they came out back to the land of Israel in 1948. Are we living in prophetic times when the nation of Israel is reborn? The prophetic clock clicked into place. How does this happen? God! Ezekiel 37:14, and I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Do you know this? Do you believe this? Do you see the sign that is in the world today? Do you see it, people? I lead trips to the Holy Land, and I lead trips to the land of Jesus. And I found an amazing tour guide, Sarah, a Messianic Jew that lives there and just loves the Lord. And every time we go, she is our guide. And she is so good. As we're leaving Tel Aviv on our very first day and people are all tired and we've had jet lag of flying there and we're beginning our tour and we're driving through Tel Aviv and Sarah in the midst of it all and she has it perfectly planned. She says, can dead bones turn into living flesh again? And people will look and that question kind of wakes people up when they're in jet lag and she says, look around. As we're driving through the streets of Tel Aviv, a city born and the nation of Israel reborn. And Sarah begins talking about Ezekiel 37. She says, can dried bones live again? She says, look around. Look what God has been doing in our times. Look what God is doing in your times. And as she begins reading Ezekiel 37 and how God has raised a nation back again, at that right, just at that moment, she says, this building over here to the left, do you see that building? And we just passed. She says, in 1948, there was an archaeologist that was in that building, and the Dead Sea Scrolls was just given to him that they had found out in the Dead Sea area. Ancient Old Testament scrolls dated back 100 BC before Jesus was born. The earliest manuscripts of the Bible, and this Jewish archaeologist was reading this, looking, going, these are ancient, these are old, this is the book of Isaiah. Where did this come from? And as the archaeologist is stunned when he's first looking at the very first time at the Dead Sea Scrolls, he hears a sound going off in Tel Aviv, and it's a sound of joy in the streets because Israel has just been reborn. And this archaeologist says, God is amazed. Amazing. He's given us our country back, and he's given us our scriptures back at the same time of 2,000 years. Coincidence? I get goosebumps. God. Are we living in the last days? The Jewish people being brought to their land and their nation being reborn, the Valley of Dry Bones coming to life again, is a huge sign of the last days. And I want to point you back again to the sermon I gave of last week, and you can check that out. But we know for a fact that when Jesus returns again and the abomination of desolation taking place in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 11 and 12, that the Jewish nation has to be back in their land, and they are. And they are. And we could stop and just say, that's amazing. I want to tell you this morning as we continue into this thought, are we in the last days? There are many things happening in the world right now on the prophetic calendar that all of us should be sitting and saying, these are exciting times of what God is doing. The disciples came to Jesus. They said, Lord, when will this be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus began answering the questions that we're answering today. What else did Jesus say would happen before he comes? And maybe it would be good for us again just to remind ourselves as we look at Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14, and just see if you can find a list of things here. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, and I'm glad he did. He answered. What was his answer? Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Messiah, will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning. Listen, birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many because of the increase of wickedness. The increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold in these days. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, as a testimony to all the nations. And then Jesus says, and then the end will come. In Matthew 24, does Jesus say that the world will be getting better or getting worse before he returns? Does he say that mankind will evolve and better themselves over time to higher planes of thought and morals? And will they quit lying and stealing and cheating and deceiving and murdering? Or right before he returns, does he say that mankind will be getting worse? Jesus says right before he comes again that deception will be high and many false prophets and messiahs will be on the rise, deceiving and lying. Many, Jesus says, people who will follow them. Jesus says that right before he comes again, there'll be an increase of wars and rumors of wars, an increase of earthquakes and famines. persecutions of believers. He says that at that time of his coming, wickedness will prevail on the earth, and most people's love for one another will cease. Jesus says, this is all like birth pains that happen with more intensity as it gets closer to the end. If you've taken notes with me, if you want to discuss this in your small groups and family, I want you just to take a basic observation with me this morning. What will the world be like before Jesus comes again? Jesus says the world will be worse before he returns, not better. He said this 2,000 years ago. Is he right? Look at the days that we're living in. How many false prophets and messiahs are out there? And how many people are following them? Jesus would say that Muhammad's a false prophet. How many billions follow that man? Believe in that person? 1.8 billion and growing. Or how about maybe a more modern prophet like Joseph Smith of the Mormon Church? How many millions believe in him? About 16 million and growing. And this prophet spoke in the 1840s. How about wars? Jesus says this would happen, it's happening. How about wars? Did you know that more people were killed due to war in the 20th century than all previous wars of the last 3,000 years combined? We of humanity slaughtered more people in the 20th century in that 100-year time span. More humans died in the wars of the 20th century than all previous wars of the last 3,000 years combined. Is that a birth pain? Earthquakes are on the rise. Persecution of believers are happening. In China and India and the Middle East and Africa and even here in America. Jesus calls these birth pains. Are they happening? Yes. Yes. What else does Jesus say in Matthew 24? Listen to this one. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness or testimony to all the nations. And he says, and then the end will come. And that's a note to take this morning. If you're going to take notes, write that the gospel will be preached to all the nations. And then he comes. I've thought about this. You know, when Jesus said this, could you imagine Peter, James, and John? The whole world, that's a big chunk of, Lord, you want us to be your witnesses to the whole world? I mean, Andrew, Peter's brother got as far as Britain, or Thomas got as far as India before they both died. The whole world? That's a tall order, Lord. 2,000 years after Jesus said these words, is the gospel being preached to the whole world? I need to ask you in this room, how old were you when the towers were destroyed in 9/11? Do you remember the memorial service 3 days after 9/11? Here in America, in New York City, and Billy Graham came up to give a service 3 days after 9/11, Billy Graham got up to preach, and there's a picture. Do you remember the great evangelist Billy Graham got up in the National Cathedral of the United States of America, and the United Nations, every ambassador from all over the world came to this memorial service except three countries. North Korea's ambassador didn't come, Iranian ambassador didn't come, and Afghanistan's ambassador didn't come. Three. Every other ambassador of the world gathered to mourn with America over what had happened at 9/11. And Billy Graham, the great evangelist, got up to speak. And guess what he did? He began preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation on planet Earth. Every representative in the world was there. And he began preaching Jesus and sin and holiness and judgment and righteousness and forgiveness, the gospel. And I remember watching this, thinking of this verse, saying, what is he doing? He's preaching the gospel to the whole world in one message. John and Andrew and Peter wouldn't believe what I'm seeing today as this amazing evangelist preaches the gospel, not to one nation, but to all nations, in one sermon. Amazing. Missionary agencies around the world say that in the next 20 years, that the Bible will be in all known languages. That every language on the world, just so it hasn't heard the gospel, they'd have the Bible in their own language. And then within the next 15 to 20 years. Is this what the Bible says would happen before Christ returns? The Bible being preached to all the nations and this happens? It's happening in your time today and in mine. In my lifetime, the gospel was preached to 90%+ of all the nations in one sermon. Jesus says, let me tell you about the last days. This is the things that's going to be happening on the earth before I return. Israel becoming a nation again. The world will be a mess. Not better, but worse when I come again. And all the nations will hear the gospel before I return again. Is it happening, brother? Is it happening, sister? What else does Jesus say that the world will be like before he returns? What does the scripture say? What will be happening on the earth when, right before Jesus returns? The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, gives us an interesting insight. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3 says, now, brothers and sisters, about the time and the dates, we do not need to write you, for we know very well that the day of the Lord, that's the second coming of Jesus, will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Interesting how there will be this cry for peace and safety in the world, in the Middle East. With the prophetic rebirth of the nation of Israel, it brought and brings wars to the Middle East, and with wars, rumors of wars. In the last days before the return of Jesus, there'll be a cry in the new land for peace and safety. A desire, a wish, a hope, a dream, a pursuit for peace and for safety that just eludes this. As 1 Thessalonians says, it's not going to happen. Is this happening today? Did you know, my brother and sister, that ever since the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the United Nations and every American administration has tried to bring peace to the Middle East? The Camp David Accords in 1978, the Egypt-Israeli Peace Treaty of 1979, the Reagan Peace Plan of 1982, the Oslo Accords of 1993, the Israel-Jordan Peace Treaty of 1994, the Camp David Summit of 2000, the Clinton Parameters in 2000, the Arab Peace Initiatives of 2002, the Two-State Solution under Obama from 2008 to 2016, and as we watch the news today, we hear of the deal of the century being thought through by this present administration of President Trump. Have these brought peace, and will these bring peace? No. There will be no peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes. They'll be crying for peace, begging for peace in the land, in the time before Jesus returns. And there will be no peace. It's prophetic truth. Israel being reborn. The world being a mess. The gospel being preached to all the world. A cry for peace and safety that won't happen. What else does the Bible say that's going to be on the earth before the coming of Jesus? The Apostle John, writing in the book of Revelation, records a time that when Christ returns and he begins judging the nations of the world, he says something interesting, prophetically. Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you've taken your great power and have begun to reign." Can you imagine Jesus beginning to reign on the earth? "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroyed the earth." Surrounding the third temple and the coming of Jesus, people are singing praises of the judgments, especially upon those who are destroying the earth. And it makes one think 2,000 years ago, when Jesus first came and mankind was on the earth, how was mankind destroying the earth 2,000 years ago? Were they burning trash? How about today, the day that you and I live? Are we in a generation of mankind being guilty of destroying, of killing the earth that God made? The destruction of the wetlands, the tropical rainforests, our ozone layer that protects us from the ultraviolet rays of the sun is depleting. As we were talking about this in sermon prep, Pastor Vince brought up the verse in Ezekiel 14, verse 12, and he describes that in the days before, that it describes what a nuclear or an atom bomb exploding, what it does to a human being, how it instantly vaporizes flesh, and says that this will happen in the days of God, of Christ's return. Nuclear exchanges. Is mankind guilty of destroying the earth today? Do we live in a time where the earth is being destroyed? Because the scripture says 2,000 years ago that when Jesus comes and he judges, he'll be judging people, nations that were destroying the planet that he made. Isn't that interesting? I imagine between now and when Christ returns, there's probably going to be a massive nuclear exchange somewhere in the world before his return. And can you imagine what a massive nuclear war would do to planet Earth? Israel being established, the world being a mess, the gospel being preached, peace, peace, narrow peace, the earth being destroyed, all before the coming of Christ. What days are we living in? How about this one? This one's a fascinating one. The increase of information. The prophet Daniel, Jesus, as he was asked this, he said, "I'm pointing you to Daniel, Peter, James, John, Andrew. If you want to understand the last times, read the prophet Daniel." The prophet Daniel is the literature of the last days in the Old Testament as Revelation is to the New. When you read Daniel, there's an interesting, in the last chapter of Daniel, all about last days, God gives this nugget that in the last days, there'll be an increase of information happening in the world. Daniel 12:4. In the NSB, it's a literal translation, says this so right. "But as you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal them up," he's talking about the prophecies of the coming of Messiah, "until the end of time." That's the last days. And then there's this nugget. "Many will go back and forth, travel, and knowledge will increase." Fascinating, isn't it? The time before the coming of Christ, knowledge will increase. The increase of information. If you're taking notes, what will the increase of information will be happening on the world right before Christ returns? An increase of knowledge, an increase of information. Think with me. In the time of Abraham, in the time of David, they communicated with hand signals. and papyrus. They carved in stone. They traveled at the speed of horseback or sail. And they clothed themselves in an agrarian economy of plants and animals. The time of Abraham. The time of King David. 4,000 years later, with George Washington. He communicated with hand signals at that time. They traveled at the speed of horseback or sail. They clothed themselves with an agrarian economy of plants and animals. And in this last generation that you and I are part of, we have learned to communicate at the speed of light. We travel at the speed of sound. We create the very atoms and molecules that we desire for synthetic fabrics that we wear. We are in the information age of knowledge. Travel has increased incredibly. Jet planes, could you imagine? Isn't this amazing to think about the age that we're living in? They call it the information age. When I was a little boy growing up, my cousin Isabel, I remember her, we would visit her, and she said she was going to live to be 100 years old, and she lived to be 99 and a half when she passed away. And my cousin Isabel, she remembers as a little girl riding in horse and buggy. Her parents speak about when they heard of Abraham Lincoln being shot. And in her lifetime, in cousin Isabel's lifetime, she went from riding in a horse and buggy to watching a man walk on the moon. In her lifetime, in one generation, within 100 years, the incredible amount of information that took place in just one lifetime, when you think of 4,000 years between Abraham and David and George Washington, in 100 years. We are this generation. People who are watching this service today, you're watching it in live stream. Look at the technology that we have today. There are people who are watching this service today that have had hip replacements, knee replacements, ankle replacements, heart transplants. Talk about the science, the increase of knowledge. We are a special people living in a very special time, all said by the Bible before it ever happened. Lucky guess? Or God. God is real. You know, when I grew up, I had 13 TV stations to watch as a little boy. And I had to click them. There was no such thing as a remote. How many TV stations do we have now? Does anyone here remember your first computer? You know, halfway through college, I wrote my research paper on a typewriter with whiteout. I remember the first my first Mac SE with no hard drive, only disk drives. It was awesome. Do you remember your first computer? And how it changed our lives. Now you buy a phone. Has anyone bought the new iPhone 11? Unbelievable. A Tesla. Unbelievable. In our time, the increase of information. The Bible says that right before the second coming of Jesus, in the end times, the times before, right before he returns, there will be an increase of information, an increase of knowledge happening on the earth. You are living in these days. And so am I. It's like God is preparing planet Earth for the coming of the sun. Can you see it, my brother? Can you see it, my sister? Israel being reestablished, the world being a mess when Christ returns, the gospel being preached, asking for peace in the world and not having it, specifically in the Middle East. The destruction of the earth taking place, it's happening, and the increase of information happening all in our time. What else? And here it is. Pastor Frank, are we living, is COVID-19 a sign of the end? Jesus says that a part of the birth pains will be plagues. Plagues. An increase of plagues. There's a note for you to take this morning, note number 6. What will be happening on the earth before Christ returns? It's interesting and I'm so grateful for the harmony of the Gospels, because when Jesus was asked this question, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels, you put together, you can piece together, what did Jesus say? In Luke 21, when is the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus takes him on the Mount of Olives and he begins speaking to them, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be tares and great signs from heaven, right? Wars and so forth. And we were talking about this last week. The word plague, you know, the religious Jews in Israel are calling COVID-19 a plague. Panukula is the Greek word. We were looking it up this week. Do you know what the definition of a plague or a pestilence is? It means contagious disease. Contagious disease. An increase of contagious disease happening on the earth before Yeshua the Messiah returns. An increase of plagues, pestilence. For you and I living in the 21st century, we who are people of the book, as we read the teachings of Jesus, is COVID-19 a sign of the end? What do you think? 100 years ago, the world experienced the Spanish flu. They say 50 million people died of the flu. Influenza of 1957 and 58, the Hong Kong flu of 1968 and 69, that said 1 to 4 million people died during that one. The SARS outbreak of 2002 to 2004, the swine flu that happened from 2009 to 2010, in which 284,000 humans died. It's 2009 and 10. And now, what year is it? 2020. 10 years later. COVID-19. What will be its death toll? Is it a part of the birth pains? Jesus put these as birth pains, getting more intense before he comes. Is it a birth pain? What do you think? People, if you heard the trumpet today sound and Christ calls us home, would anybody be surprised? Would any of us say, if Jesus was to come back today, gee, you didn't warn us, Lord, we had no idea. Is that possible? There's plenty of warning, my brother. There's plenty of warning, my sister. Turn on the news. Look around. Be people of the Scriptures. Look and see what God is doing. All this was prophesied. Birth pains. Birth pains. Makes me think. First time when my wife, Cindy, gave birth to Jonathan, our firstborn, and we were at Irvine Hospital, which is now Hogue Irvine. And I remember Cindy hooked up to the machine, and you could see, like, as her birth pains would come, these spikes would happen on this graph. And I'd be talking to her, and then she'd wince, birth pain, and then it would come down. And I'm like, are you okay? Oh, she goes, well, that was a bad one. Okay, sweetheart. By the way, I prepared for this moment. We went to Lamaze breathing techniques to help your lady. And we practiced We practiced. I was going to be there for her, giving her ice chips, encouraging her, helping her breathe and so forth. I hyperventilated her. The nurse told me to get out of the way. I'm ruining this. And she took over and helped send her with her breathing. But that's just a little side note for the Winans family. Birth pains. I remember watching the graph coming quicker, quicker, more intense before the coming of my son. Birth pains, birth pains. All for the end. We're living in special days, my brother and my sister. His coming is coming. Are you ready? Israel being put back. The world being an absolute mess before he returns. The gospel being preached in all the world. It's happening. All of it's happening. Peace, peace. There's a new peace proposal coming out in the next weeks. The earth being destroyed. The increase of information in the days. Increase of plagues. All supposed to be happening on the earth before he comes. It was written thousands of years ago. It is happening in our lifetime. How do you explain this? Lucky guesses? God. Ezekiel 37, 13 and 14, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. Do you know that He is the Lord? When I open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Pause. God is speaking today to you and to me. He's real. He's here. He's serious. The blood of Christ on the cross is serious. The gospel is serious. God is speaking to the world today. And is anyone even listening? Are you? Am I? These are not days of gloom, but of hope. These are not days of gloom, but of hope. When my son was coming, I was hopeful, and we were prepared. We were ready. Jesus, all around, when he speaks on this, he keeps warning his disciples, be alert, be on your guard, be ready, be faithful. We, you and I, we need to be alert. Exciting things happening in our day. This is not a time of gloom, but a time of hope. For look up and see where thy hope comes from the Almighty. He's coming. Are you ready? Be alert. Be faithful. See. Be wise. I want to read to you as I close this message. Psalm 146, 1 through 5. It just ministers to me. Praise the Lord. Have you praised the Lord lately? Have you just stopped and give God praise? Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, governments, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, administration after administration. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Look at all the peace accords. How blessed is he whose help is from the God of Jacob. How blessed is he whose help is from the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. Where does your hope come from today? There are many people right now in the world in which we're living, their dreams are being destroyed, and their hopes are being shattered. Suicide rates on the rise. People depressed and lonely and afraid. Fighting for hope. Where does your hope come from? How blessed is he whose help is from the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord our God. My hope and your hope is in the Lord our God, who's doing all this. He's got this. And his eyes are upon you, my brother and my sister. These are not times of despair. These are times of hope. These are times to be alert. These are times to be faithful. These are times not to be spiritually lazy. These are times to be spiritually sharp. These days in which you and I live, these are important days. These are awesome days. Birth pains are happening. And soon, he's coming. Are you ready? There will be a day with no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. There will be a day when he rules and reigns. There will be a day when you're going to see him face to face. But until those days, be alert, be hopeful, be wise. Be excited for the coming of Christ and care about people that don't know him yet. Give them the gospel. Be a part of prophecy being fulfilled. Give the gospel to the nations. Give the gospel to your friends and your family and your neighbors as God gives you opportunity. Give people your testimony and tell them about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We quiet our hearts before the living God. We do not create you, God, in our minds. We discover you. We do not create God. We discover God. And you are real, and you are true, and you are here, and you are sovereign, and you are holy. You are mighty. You are awesome. And you are our Father who is in heaven. How holy is thy name. We pray for thy kingdom to come. We pray for thy will to be done on earth, as it is happening right now in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that day, Lord, when we will see you face to face. That's our hope. That's what we're living for. No one can take you away from us. Nothing can take you away from us, Almighty. Your love for us is fixed. The blood of Jesus surrounding us is fixed. Nothing can wash that away. For you are Almighty God, sovereign. And your love for us is deep. Can we possibly understand the height and the depth and the width, the breadth of God's love for us? We worship you this day. And we look forward, God, to the day we see you face to face. But until that day, we will be faithful and alert. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Jeremy Camp wrote an amazing song called There Will Be a Day. May this song minister to you. Awesome song. Let's sing.